This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We are live. Assalamu alaikum to all the who are watching our today's online conference. And we are honored here. We have Dr. Bilal Phillips joining from Qatar. And we have Brother Fadil joining from Istanbul. And I'm joining from Toronto. So we're all around the place. Alhamdulillah. And Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Bilal. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Fadil. How are you doing today? Assalamu alaikum to all the watching our today's online conference. And Brother Fadil joining from Istanbul, and I'm joining from Toronto. So we're all around the place. Alhamdulillah. And Assalamu alaikum. You had the background. Bismillah, let's start with the introductions first. So let me start with Dr. Bilal Phillips. And most of you who are watching this, probably you know this individual. Mashallah, I have benefited from his work many, many years ago. And he is most well known for, he's author of many, many books, and he did a lot of things when it comes to Islamic education. And I think one of his achievements is founding the International Open University, formerly known as Islamic Online University, since 2010. Mashallah, they have educated over 600,000 Muslim students. May Allah reward them, and they are ever growing. And for those of you who are seeking knowledge, ilm, in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only the Islamic knowledge, but also just go and check out International Open University. This is the URL, as you can see, and you will see they teach a lot of subjects you can learn, and it's also accredited, right? It's affordable, it's accessible, and it's something worth checking out. This is what we suggest, go and check it out. And also have Coach Fadil. He's a serial entrepreneur. He's the founder of Brainy Bunch. Brainy Bunch started like 11 years ago, is a one Islamic Montessori kindergarten, but now they have over hundreds of campuses in Malaysia. They also expanded the neighboring countries, Brunei, Singapore, Indonesia. And Brother Fadil is in Istanbul. He's establishing HQ there. He want to expand and take over the world, inshallah, in a good way. They are joining. So they both are one of the reasons we will discuss today, how to work together, how to work in union in Ummah. And the reason I invited two individuals are they are both in, they have established a lot, and also both in education. Because this is what I believe in the long term. This is where the education, where that we can make the
establish a lot.
And also, having said that, let's start the discussion, inshallah. And for those of you who are watching, you can ask your questions. We have some assistants here who can pick up the questions. We can also get them answered from Dr. Bilal or Brother Fadil as well. Bismillah. So having said that, the questions, let me start with the questions. So question and for both of you, as you know, is an ummah in Islam, the Prophet always kind of urged ummah to work together. But however, unfortunately, in this day and age, we don't see much cooperation, right? And from my experience, building online university, it's been more than 10 years now, Dr. Bilal, and Brother Fadil, you've also been in the business more than 10, 11 years. You both have grown your organizations to extend, alhamdulillah. And it doesn't happen on its own. It's not a one person's job. So somehow you have figured out in a how to do it in an organization way. So my question is, what were the challenges you faced during the setup on your journey to get to where you are today? Maybe Dr. Bilal, you would like to go first and share your experience. Bismillah.
Well, Bismillah, salatu wassalam ala Rasulillah. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. The challenges of setting up the university includes the individual challenges of being qualified to do that job. So it starts with experience. I mean, I studied in Medina in the 70s. I taught high school, junior high school in the 80s, Islamic junior high school, teaching Islamic studies, etc. And I even at a part of the time I did teach in the primary school too, for filling in for some who weren't available. And in the 90s, I became a university professor. I had completed my PhD in teaching in university, the American University in Dubai. And beginning of 2000, I set up a department for Islamic studies in Preston University in Ajman. And so the steps towards the evolution of the university, the online university, were steps which came out of the necessity of the circumstance. Because, okay, I'd set up a department of Islamic studies, and, you know, alhamdulillah, it was growing, developing. I brought on more people. And at that point, I was asked certain questions by people who were followers of some of my programs, lectures, etc., etc. And they wanted to know about Islamic websites where they could study Islam.
Okay.
So they asked, you know, what about this particular website, which was a popular one. So I went there, and as I went through the pages and saw the material and saw what the course was set up, how it was set up, etc., I came to realize that this website was not really presenting mainstream Islam.
I see.
You know, it was off on another tangent. You know, you know, I felt shy to tell people, no, don't go there. Best I could say was, okay, you know, in areas of aqidah, better you look elsewhere. Mm-hmm. But at least in areas of hadith, okay, they do have hadith called, there's benefit there, and, you know, like this. So I had to carefully word, you know, what I was saying to people, not telling them to go there wholeheartedly, because of the dangers that I saw there. But at the same time, being open enough to say to them, well, okay, that's all that's available online.
That's true.
You know, there were no alternatives. So what do you tell people? Don't go, period. You know, so at that point, I realized, I need to do something here. I need to try and get online and set up something that, you know, people can reliably come to and not worry about, you know, the content being off here, you know, left or right or whatever. So that is what it was like, you know, as they call, you know, necessity being the mother of invention, right? You know, so it was me now having to try to get online. And I tried from back then. That was about 2001. I tried, but, you know, the cost to get learning management systems at that time was just massive.
I see.
You know, too big. You had to pay every year, you know, some huge numbers, like $100,000 or something, you know, crazy stuff. So I tried doing something. You know, my son was studying IT at the time, and he set up a database, and we tried to do it, but, you know, it wasn't enough. So the database started to crumble after about a year. You know, we're losing data. And so, okay, we better shut this down before we hurt other people, you know. So we had to apologize and shut it down until coming up in 2007. Then the learning management system, Moodle, you know, an Australian educator, he created the system and gave it to the world. Alhamdulillah. May Allah bless him, guide him. Once that showed up, then we realized, okay, now it's time to really go ahead and do it. So we started to build it up from there. You know, I also worked online with Knowledge International University in Riyadh. That university gave me the experience of setting up a Department of Islamic Studies online and running it, and learning, knowing what I should do and what I shouldn't do. So by 2009, I was invited to India to set up a university in Chennai, South India. So I went there, set up the university, but the Indian government saw my plans or understood my plans to set up an international university, though we didn't call it that, but the plan was something like the International University, Islamic University of Islamabad. They have also in Uganda, they have also in Bangladesh, you know, and you have in Malaysia, IIUM. So this was the plan, but we didn't call it that. But they understood. So after it was set up and we got it going and everything else, my visa ran out. I needed to now make a new visa, work visa, no work visa.
I see.
So shut out.
I see.
Back to Qatar. And at that point, we had put together enough material that 2010, we were able to launch the university with the Islamic studies, focusing on Islamic studies.
I see. And
with the cooperation of a number of different educators, etc. You know, because the condition that I required of all of the instructors was that they have a sufficient Islamic background. And these instructors, for other than the Islamic courses, it was a Sharia program was the main program, but there were side programs going on at the same time. I expanded the normal curriculum for Sharia to include areas where graduates from Islamic universities generally tend not to be prepared. You know, when they graduate and come back home to their countries, you know, they are expected to teach, but they didn't learn any teaching methodology. Or they're expected to lead, but they didn't learn any management and administration. Or they're, you know, required to counsel, but they didn't study any psychology and counseling, etc. You know, and so on. And IT, they come back, they don't have any IT skills, you know, and the world has moved forward into the world of IT. They're still back in, you know, pre-IT times, and so on and so forth. So all of the critical areas which I felt were necessary for a proper graduate of an Islamic program, I tried to add these as like minors, which the students would have to also take. So that required cooperation, finding instructors who are going to teach in these other areas, IT, business administration, education, but all of them would teach their subjects from an Islamic perspective. They had to have enough knowledge and have enough concern and care. You know, this is what I had to hear when I interviewed the instructors. They had to have that care and concern in order for them to fit into the program. So this is where cooperation, reaching out beyond, you know, where the main program was, reaching out beyond that to include others. And alhamdulillah, from there it just developed and expanded. Alhamdulillah, with each step, those minors became departments. So now we offer a degree in education, a degree in Islamic psychology, a degree in Islamic banking and finance, degree also in IT, a degree also in business administration and agricultural economics now. This is that actually wasn't one of the minors, but we're looking for the other courses which are greatly needed in the developing world. You know, we stayed away from the high-tech areas where graduates will just be sucked into the West and they will not benefit their countries. So we focused, as we said, agricultural economics, you know, public health, mass communications. These are the kind of fields which are greatly needed and people couldn't afford. So one of the keys for the rapid growth of the university was our affordability. You know,
absolutely.
This is collaborating with the Ummah, making the knowledge accessible to the Ummah. This was the concept. You know, from a business perspective, to have 100 students paying $1,000 each is much more attractive than 1,000 students paying $100 each.
Too much hassle.
Too much additional hassle. Yes, exactly. You know, once you've got 1,000 students paying 100, and you're getting the same as 100 students paying 1,000. So naturally, as a businessman, you're gonna go for 100 paying 1,000.
Yeah.
But because the International Open University, Islamic Online University, was not a business, you know, I didn't look at it as a business. I looked at it as extension of service to the Ummah.
Absolutely. You know,
having studied, I had a responsibility to share what I learned, you know, with the Ummah. It began, as I explained, and evolved level by level.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things, there are also some young entrepreneurs who are watching this, you know, they may be, right now, when they look at the Islamic Online University, it's a big organization with the big numbers. But based on what you said is, what I'm learning is, first of all, you did your homework. What I mean is that you mentioned you started teaching early, like late 70s, 80s, 90s, right? In 2000s, right? You've been teaching like 30, 40 years. And all this time, it's not like you turn it and one day, okay, I'm going to be this, and you don't do this. It just takes time. You gain your experience. And you also mentioned that you didn't set out to, I'm going to open a university. But when you saw there was a need, but the need was not being met, you said, okay, we have to do this. Like, it took a time. And you also mentioned the first try was 2000. Right, like then until you officially launched, it took another 9 years when the things were probably Moodle came out and technology made available. But having said that, so that the one of the beautiful things, like when we come to these things and share your story, the backstory, not where you are today, but the backstory, it actually gets people thinking, okay, Dr. Bilal Phillips was not made in one day. It took probably 40 years. It took probably 50 years. So, you know, because sometimes these days, you know, entrepreneurs, they want to do something in 2 months, like, is it working? Say, oh, it's not working. Said, no, it's in the making. It takes time. So, alhamdulillah, thank you for sharing the story. If you don't mind sharing me, Sheikh, can you tell us, like, we know the number of students, but how big is the staff today, Islamic Online University, in terms of staff?
The numbers are, you know, someplace in the neighborhood of about 300.
MashaAllah.
Actually, the big number that you mentioned, 500,000, these are 500,000 who registered in the university, you know. But, you know, online study has a massive dropout rate.
That's another thing.
Massive dropout rate. So, alhamdulillah, you know, our actual numbers are more, you know, 6,000, 7,000 students who are studying in the university. And over the years, numbers have built up gradually.
Alhamdulillah.
But alhamdulillah, you know, the bottom line is that, you know, we have managed to reach a point where we have the most diverse student body of any university in the world. Though we can't compare to Harvard, you know, University of London, and so in terms of money and all these other things, we have students from 229 different countries.
That's you almost covered every country. You almost covered every country in the world.
Yeah. No, we have. We have. There's maybe only North Korea. maybe one other like that we don't have students from. But virtually, we've had students from virtually all of these countries, you know. And alhamdulillah, you know, this is in and of itself, you know, a great achievement. We tried to get it, you know, in the Guinness Book of World Records, but they just made it difficult. They want this and they need that and they hear what this is. They all have to be online together. And it was obvious. They didn't want to give us that record, you know. Maybe we'll try again, you know, in a year or two, whatever. But
yeah, maybe Guinness will not notice, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the angels are taking record everything you do. May Allah reward you for your service to the Ummah.
But anyway, the Guinness idea was only for further
promotion. Public relations, yeah.
That's all, you know. Anyway, we can claim it, you know. You know, I mean, this is, I say it openly, you know, no problem. We say, okay, prove it. Okay, you give me a squad which has 229 different countries. Give me one university in the world that has that. None. That's the fact.
One. Islamic Ola University.
Only one. Yeah.
Inshallah. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your story, Dr. Bilal. Brother Fadhil, would you like to share your story as well? How was your journey? It's not easy to build with one campus. Now we have over 100 campuses. MashaAllah, you also employ many educators, and tell us your story briefly.
MashaAllah, I think initially when you mentioned that we're gonna have Dr. Bilal, I was like, I mean, Dr. Bilal is like this, like, you know, he's like in the sky, I'm like on the ground, right? He's focusing on the university student. I mean, of course, everybody knows Dr. Bilal in the world, but I think now, I mean, I've always believed in, you know, when Allah mentioned, wa makaru wa makarallah wa Allah khairu makirin, I think there's a reason for Allah to get us together. And listening to you, when you mentioned that, you know, the starting of the operation officially is in 2010, it is exactly similar to Brainy Bunch. I left my corporate world in 2008. I was a sales director with Dell Computers, and then I bought over a kindergarten, and then started, and then I turned that kindergarten to Brainy Bunch first campus in 2010. So basically, Brainy Bunch also started in 2010. And then when you mentioned that current active student, you have about 6,000-7,000, which is about the same with us. Now, alhamdulillah, this year we managed to reach about 9,000 students. I started to see now, I think, because I thought that you guys are like already have like million students, then maybe we can try to leverage what you can. But now I see that how we should work together, because wallahi, Dr. Bilal, maybe the online university before the pandemic was not that important, maybe to some. You know, although I believe it's important, but maybe for most people, they don't see the importance of it, the values. But because of the pandemic, everybody have to go online, right? So now, and I started to see like a stronger collaboration that we can work, because I've always believed that every Muslim, I know I used to work with brothers from Al Maghrib in Malaysia. I mean, I told them like, you guys conducting very good, nice program every year, bringing all the share from around the world. But I said, there must be a curriculum for a believer who wanted to practice the religion like properly with the proper knowledge. They can go through to a curriculum, right? So you cannot just come and teach them one topic and then leave them and then wait for another class for another 3 months. When are they going to finish the basic foundation of the Islamic knowledge? So when I saw Islamic Online University, mashallah, we should make it a compulsory for Muslim who do not go to full-fledged Islamic school to have a minimum diploma in Islamic studies from Islamic Online University. So we can work together on that. Now I started to see that. And then listening to you, when you started, is exactly why we started as well. Like I started because I was worried. When I got my own children, I was worried about their Islamic upbringing. I'm unlike you, you have that knowledge. I don't have that knowledge. I have only little bit knowledge, but I have the same and great concern. And that's the reason why we started Benny Bunch. We were worried. In Malaysia, about 10 years ago, most of us, most of the, even until now, majority are still doing that. But again, you compare 10 years ago, most of the young parents at that time, we were worried about our English, the English of our children, because we don't speak English that well. We are not native speakers. I don't speak English that well either, as compared to anyone else. Of course, my English now is a little bit more better for Malaysian standards, but alhamdulillah, it's acceptable for me to go around the world and speak in English. But we were worried at that time, English. Most of the parents, they are worried on English. And at that time, for early childhood education, Islamic English education is not available. It's not much. Like you have maybe like 2-3 schools. So my journey, I have to travel like myself and my wife. At the time I was still working, we have to travel almost 2 hours to 3 hours a day to send my 2-year-old son to an English Islamic school. Because we were worried about Islamic, obviously that's the main concern. And second is their English, because we don't speak that well. So we travel almost like 2 hours a day just to send him to that school.
Yeah, so just, that, I just want to mention here that when you say English, because you want to teach him English, you want to make him to the better for the future, right? Because the future, that's where the English...
I mean, obviously, because we know that English now is the spoken language of the world, right? So the main... like we see our brothers in Turkey here. They have like the best product of the world, mashallah. But nobody knows about their product, or at least not in my country. We don't know that Turkish... we know Turkish build jets, build helicopters and on. But they also build toilet. You know, the WC toilet, mashallah, I don't know. This is my first time, my experience, that I see a toilet that I believe very close for the Muslim to practice the proper tahara. So, because unlike other systems where, in Asia, we are using the wet toilet system where we use the bidet, right? So, normally, our toilet are wet. You go to the public toilet, it's very difficult to maintain cleanliness in a wet toilet. It's very difficult. So you go to Europe, they don't have water. You go to Japan, okay, they invented, but you cannot use your hand to wash. But in Turkey, they have invented a system that you can use your hand, you can use water, and it's still a dry toilet, mashallah. But because of the language barrier, probably, we wouldn't know their product. So that's why I still believe the English, currently, of course, for the Muslim, we learn Arabic for us to understand the Quran, and our religion, but I think English is very, very important. So I think now I started to see the connection, why we have to be with Dr. Bilal Philip, mashallah. You have done an amazing job, mashallah. And when you say, you ask the question, the challenges, I think for us, I think for most of us, when we believe that what we do is a must, especially for our religion, especially fulfilling, continuing the mission of the Prophet. Remember, our beloved Prophet, the first 13 years of Islam, focusing on Aqidah. Because this Aqidah, when you get it right, you're going to be saved from the punishment of hell, which is the most important for us, right? Success of the hereafter. So when you do something that of that greater cause, the challenges is just the hurdle that you have to go through. I mean, we don't calculate. I believe Dr. Bilal will share the same with me. That whatever, I'm sure you have like many hurdles, many challenges, financial resources, you know, to get people to be able to teach what you wanted to teach. It's not easy. Even though I'm not a teacher, but I know what I wanted to provide to our children. We want to provide the environment that these children were nourished to become nurture to become a good believer, those who want to obey Allah and follow the teaching of the Prophet. So that's basically, that's why in our school, our tagline is success in both worlds. We want to raise a child who wanted to be successful, not just here in this world, but also in the hereafter. But at that time, and even now, most of the Islamic school are still perceived that they are going after hereafter only, not this world. So that was the perception. So that's the reason why we had to choose, Doctor, the name does not represent a typical Islamic school. We use the word brainy bunch, you know, just a bunch of brainy children, which we believe every children are born brainy. So when listening to you, the care and concern, you use the word the care and concern, the same thing that we have. And that was the basically the startup, the fundamental spirit that we always have in Brainy Bunch, that we always think on how we can impact the children. With all the technologies, the advancement, now we're talking about metaverse, you know, I think Islamic Online University need to start thinking about metaverse universities. You know? We have to prepare somehow. But I believe in terms of getting the right roadmap, I think one of the things that we discussed with Brother Ma'ruf, inshallah, maybe after the session, we need to have a meeting to discuss about. I just asked my team when Dr. Bilal was talking, I got the idea because you were asking me, like, the Islamic Online School, right? What's the brand? So Islamic Online University, they use the brand IOU, right? Islamic Online University. So Islamic Online School, IOS. You know, so very simple, right? So I just asked my team to secure the domain just now. MashaAllah. This is one of the things, Dr. Bilal, that I think we need to do it urgently, because today, if you Google Islamic Online School, none. Nobody is offering. I got a lot of requests, not because of the pandemic alone, a lot of other Islamic school. When they could not open the school, a lot of private Islamic school closed down. A lot of private Islamic school closed down because they are not ready for the online environment. You have the experience. We have the curriculum that we have started 10 years ago. Now, alhamdulillah, Brainy Bunch is not just a kindergarten. We have our elementary program. We have our international high school program. We use the Montessori as the pedagogy only. It's not a curriculum, but the way we teach, we have actually developed what we call as a SPICE curriculum framework. SPICE stands for spiritual, physical, intellectual, creative, and emotional, where the children, instead of getting the A, B, C grades or, you know, the academic examinations, but we assess on their basically ability to master and ability to impact. So that's basically what we are focusing on. So in Brainy Bunch, I think now we are already exceeding the question, but just to explain, so that Dr.
Bilal, you're excited
about Brainy Bunch, where we started with resetting the intention for the children and the parents and the teachers. And then after that, we set the mastery goal so that they can learn to master. And then second one, the third one is once they master, to learn to practice. You know, so because there's no point for you to learn and master, but you don't practice. But even if you focus and push them to practice, if they do not do the next one, which is impact. Impact is when they started to teach others. You know, our beloved Prophet mentioned in one of the hadiths, the best of you are the one who learn Quran and teach Quran. Ta'lim wa ta'lum. So this year, we are going to measure our children, even at the kindergarten level, like 5 years old can teach the 4 years old how to pray. MashaAllah, when we moved to Istanbul, we have a neighbor from, she's an Algerian. She speaks fluent Arabic, MashaAllah. And then when she came to my house, because she was playing with my daughter, she's 7 years old. And then I asked her, do you learn how to pray? She said, no, I never learn how to pray. She went to school and asked about the school, whether she learned Islam in the school. No. York, she mentioned. But she speaks fluent English and Arabic. Because she's Algerian, she also speaks a little bit of French. And then I asked her, do you know how to pray? Because she can speak good Arabic, right? And she said, no, she didn't learn. Then I asked the next question, 7 years old, daughter. A girl. Do you want to pray? She said, of course I want to pray. And then I get my daughter to teach her how to take wudu, and they pray together. And then immediately she went back home and pray with the mother. And then when she came back a day after that, and she told me, oh, I pray with my mother. My mom is very happy. You see, a lot of these families, a lot of these types of children, they're just waiting for us to do the da'wah, to call them to obey Allah. They are ready to obey Allah. The akidah is already in their heart. But if we are not able to provide the opportunities for them to learn, to have the bi'ah, to have the environment for them to learn on how to obey and what to do, they're not going to be. So that's the reason why we decided to expand Brainy Bunch. And to do Brainy Bunch, of course, we need resources. But Alhamdulillah, now we have the resources. Dr. Bilal have millions of potential students that we're able to learn Islamic studies. Doesn't matter whatever their background. This is what we believe in Brainy Bunch. We believe that anyone can be whatever they want to be if they want to be. So because we believe if they want, they will be able to put effort and we can guide them, we can provide them training and so on. So I think I'm so blessed and excited and honored. And I don't know, maybe I speak too much, but I just think that so many coincidence, which I don't believe coincidence. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe everything is pre-planned by Allah and we are just on the right path that maybe this meeting today, tonight, is one of the significant for us to come up with a unified action plan, not just to provide the education. Education is only one portion that we have to do. After that, we have to prepare the environment for them to practice. The community, the economy, providing the free rebate society. If we study, I'm actually a little bit shy to use hadith or Quran when we have Dr. Bilal Philip with me. But, there's no other way for me to do it, right? When Allah mentioned, لَقَدَ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. The success of us in this world is only when we follow the teaching of the Prophet, the way the Prophet do. So what the Prophet did is focusing on the Aqidah, and then after that, the Hijrah happened, right? The Hijrah happened where Ansar and Muhajirin, with the love to each other is so solid, that they love to each other, they've sacrificed everything, and they live together, they pray together, and what they did after that is when the Prophet created the first Islamic market, which is not today, we didn't do that. Alhamdulillah, the education base is there, but we didn't do the marketplace. But because of the marketplace, it unified the strength, it basically strengthened the Ummah at that time, and it was becoming the fundamental of Islamic economy before Islam actually go beyond Arab soil and all the way to the world. And even if you see in Turkey, like for instance, they rule almost 600 years, they control all the market. When they control the market, they control what come in, what is the trending, what is people gonna use. So that's why it is very, very important. Our second part of initiative, the Malacca Eco, the online mall, the offline mall, is really, really needed today, more so than ever, especially when we are trying to prepare our children to become fully practicing Muslim, inshallah.
Inshallah. So, one of the things, the similarities, as I said as well, online Islamic Online University, mashallah, it started just Islamic studies, but now Dr. Bilal was saying, mashallah, he and his team, he built this international open university. Today, you can go, you can study IT, you can study, business management, you can study many other things he mentioned. And one of the, I think, the beautiful part of international open university is that look at them, almost any university in the world, they study almost, they teach almost the same thing. That is the one thing that's missing. That's the most important thing is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? They almost forget it. It's like they're teaching that everything is just done. So this is one of the beautiful things, like international online university, is that they honor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the center, like we do as Muslims should do. In anything we do, anything we teach, we have to be conscious, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has presence and blessings. And I think that's another unique point for Islamic online university. And having said that, Islamic online university right now, they focus on when someone finished the school. Is it right, Dr. Bilal Phillips? When they finish the high school, then that's when they can apply to Islamic online university. Is it correct?
Well, not actually. No? Students who are in high school, we have what they call a jumpstart program.
Okay, okay.
Where students who are in high school
okay.
can take courses from the Islamic online university.
I didn't know that, okay.
And once they graduate from high school, those credits are converted into university credits.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's great.
This exists in the US. You know, I never heard of it before, you know, bringing on board with us, you know, educators, et cetera, from the US and that, who made me aware of this. And I said, SubhanAllah, it's a very good idea, you know. So we had offered courses, which are free courses for the, you know, young people who are still in high school, whatever they could take. But we never conceived of this idea that they could actually be taking, you know, degree courses, which once they graduate, maybe the 50% of their first year program is already done, you know, because of the opportunities that were available. But at the same time, you know, that the students are able to do it that way, we also encourage students who are already in degree programs in the universities, in their locales, et cetera, to do a double degree. They can do an Islamic study, you know, IOU, International Islamic University degree at the same time. So they will graduate, you know, whether they're in economics or whatever, they will graduate like their other, you know, colleagues, but they will have that added edge. They've also taken a degree in IT along with it. So when you apply for a job, not only do you have a degree in business, you also have one in IT. Obviously, they're going to say, hey, get that one. That's the better one to get. So, you know, we have encouraged. In terms of our Islamic studies, I would say well over 50% of our students have already got their degrees. And they never had a chance to access Islamic studies. So they're going back and doing it that way. Some are actually just using it to learn English. We have many Arabs who joined our Islamic studies thing because they have an exposure to Islamic studies, you know, in their countries, in Arabic, et cetera, et cetera. So they figured it would be fairly easy. They could just, and at the same time, they're hearing English all the time. They have to be communicating. They have to be writing and so on. So they build their English. But they were shocked because they came in thinking, oh, this would be like Mickey Mouse, you know, easy. Because we have, you know, we've studied, you know, Islamic studies here and there, all these courses and lectures, but they thought, oh, this is a real serious program, you know. So alhamdulillah, you know, we have many commendations from them, you know, our Arab brothers and sisters who have studied with us, just to improve their English, to get, you know, so it has served that dual purpose. But, you know, I wanted to mention, Fadl, that actually back in the 90s, I was concerned about primary and secondary education.
Okay.
I met a number of other educators from different parts of the world. You know, Yusuf Islam was one of the key figures in that period, you know. We had many discussions. But what I could see was that the main focus was Islamic studies. You know, to develop new curriculums for Islamic studies, new books and stuff for Islamic. I think we need to go beyond just Islamic studies. This challenge here, we need to bring this to all of our subjects. Mm-hmm. You know, I preached that, I presented it, I lectured on it, and, you know, and alhamdulillah, during the mid to late 90s, I produced 56 books for pre-kindergarten, kindergarten grade level one, kindergarten two, upper and lower kindergarten, grade one, grade two, grade three. They were English readers for students who learning English, they're studying in English. They have readers which will build their English accordingly. So, you know, I launched that in the latter part of the 90s. You know, it spread it all across the world. But this was supposed to be a sample of what could be done. I was hoping that some people would say, yeah, this is what we need. And we need it in mathematics. We need it in, you know, science. We need it in social studies. That's because that's really what the point is, where we have to get to, you know, where we have our own textbooks, which are teaching what is out there, what is in that field, what knowledge they need to know, but teaching it all from an Islamic perspective. So, you know, I was on it in the early 2000s. You know, I was giving lectures in the UK, here and there. I traveled to different parts of the Muslim world, from southern Mindanao all the way to southern South America, Guyana, visiting Islamic schools, talking to the students, and, you know, encouraging the schools to get engaged in developing in this way, that where we're creating content which can benefit the ummah. Yeah. But, you know, one of the things that I found out, right, as I traveled all the way through Malaysia, through, you know, Asia, through India, Pakistan, through Africa to South America, North America, when I visited the schools, and I'm focusing here now on high school students, grade 11, grade 12, they're either graduating or about to graduate. And I gave a lecture which was called The Taliban. Of course, when I brought this lecture, the administrations were saying, the Taliban. No, it's not the Taliban you're thinking. This is only to draw people's attention. Taliban, when you have one Talib student and you have another Talib student, you now have Taliban, two students. So I'm talking about the two students. Who are the two students? The two students are, on one hand, the true Muslim student, and the other hand, the fake Muslim student. So I introduced this concept to the high school graduates. And actually, in Pakistan, I went and did this in the universities, in the medical universities, in the, you know, science universities. It's the fake Muslim student and the true Muslim student. And I would ask the students, what do you think you are? Are you true Muslims? True Muslim students? Yeah, they all put their hands up. Yeah, we're all true Muslim students. I said, okay, listen. You all remember the litmus test, which you would take in science to determine whether something is alkaline or whether it's acidic. Okay, I have a litmus test I want you to take to prove whether you are a true Muslim student or a fake Muslim student.
Sure.
Oh, okay, yeah, we're ready. So I said, okay, put your hands up. Put your hands up and say after me, Wallahi, I have never cheated on any test or examination. Stands went down like no hand. Your hands are just in the hall. Students in university, 1,000 students. 3, 5, 10 had their hands up. Yeah. I said, you know, when we talk about the problems of the Muslim countries today, the corruption and everything that is in there. You know, when we get rid of these corrupt administrators and we replace them with you, are things going to be any different? No. It's not going to be any different. Until we can get a generation where when we ask them to swear by Allah, Wallahi, I've never cheated on any test or examination, until we can produce that Sahaba generation, amazing, we will not be able to lead the whole world again. It's a dream. You know, we think of Muslims becoming the leaders of the world again. So until we establish that foundation, we can never. It's just talk. So what I pointed out to them, this is the problem, you know, that we're faced with, that the majority of students are fake Muslim students. A fake Muslim student is one who is a student first. He's a Muslim
second
by accident.
Nice.
Even second by accident. He just accidentally is a Muslim. But in terms of being a student, he's the same as all the other students who are Buddhists, they're Hindus, they're atheists, they're everything else. He's just like them. And what are the students in the world most noted for? Whether you're coming from China or you're coming from the US, cheating. They're the biggest cheats in the world. The biggest. Nobody can beat them. cheaters, the biggest cheats in the world. So, hey, you know, we have a huge challenge here. And we need to tackle this from the primary level, secondary level. And this is why, I mean, I've been keen on trying to establish, you know, an online Islamic school, high school, junior high. I just went through about four different schools. Actually, you think there's none, but there are. In America, I've already spoken with more than five Islamic online modern educational schools in New York, in New Jersey, in Maryland, and etc. They exist.
Okay.
They do it. You know, it's not many. Mm. I mean, the need is far greater than what's available, no doubt.
And maybe they do exist, but not as big as Islamic Online University. We don't know them, right? Because they didn't do the marketing.
Because they're just now starting to appear.
Mm.
You know, so they're still in the very early stages. But this is the point here, that our main target should be bringing morality back into the classroom. You see, Western secular education removed morality from the classroom. That was the process of secularization. Remove. Morality now is democratic. What did we all agree on is good? Is good. What we all agree on is bad? Is bad. So if today we agree on something, tomorrow we can change our minds and make something else, make the opposite. You know, so there's no moral compass. We need to bring that moral compass back into the classroom. So I developed a series of steps, which I called, you know, the LPI, because people had been discussing from the early 80s, you know, Dr. Ismail Faruqi and others about Islamization of education. But that's a huge topic. What I saw as something doable is Islamization of the lesson plans.
Oh, I see.
You are able, because as they say, this is where the rubber hits the road. If you are able to Islamize the lesson plan, you've got the ball rolling. You know, later, as we're moving forward, we'll also deal with the whole educational structure and Islamize everything. But that's a huge philosophical, you know, intellectual study. And actually, back in the late 70s, they had gathered up, you know, major educators from all over the Muslim world in Mecca. They had a series of conferences, which they did, and they wrote an encyclopedia on the Islamization of knowledge. But if you ask anybody, have you ever read this? Have you ever seen this? Nobody ever saw it or read it. You know, it just remained in the shelf. You know, it's too intellectual. We need something right now.
Right on the ground. On the ground.
Right now. Exactly. Today. We can start doing it today. So I established five principles. The five principles of lesson plan Islamization. It's a course available in our Ilm Institute on in IOU, one of IOU's functions there. And I taught it in Nigeria, in Ghana, in Malaysia, in Philippines, etc., etc. I've tried to encourage people to get engaged in this process. Islamization of the lesson plans. So, alhamdulillah, there are some people who have seen the grave importance, grave need, and, you know, have been working together from here and there, from in the US, from Nigeria, from India, etc. It still hasn't gelled, you know. Perhaps, Fazl, this would be, you know, a point, a definite and important point of synergy that we can, you know, launch. And get that established, because some of the schools I spoke with, you know, and I invited them. I said, you know, you can take these courses free from us. It's no problem. You know, the more teachers that have this consciousness where they can Islamize their classes, the better for the Ummah. You know, the way to reach that point where our graduating students can say, yes, wallahi, I've never cheated on any test or examination. Sure. You know, that's the turning point. Sure. That's when Islamic education or Islamized education has become a reality. Until we reach that point, then it's just talk. If we're doing something towards it, then alhamdulillah, it's talk with action, you know, walking the talk, as they say, right? So, you know, primary education, though you see me focused in higher education, etc., I've never forgotten primary education. You know, it's been important enough for me to write 56 books. 56 books just for, you know, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, you know, lower and upper, and grade one, grade two, grade three. You can't get any more basic than that. But as I said, this was, you know, because my focus was on higher education, that's where I was at the time that I produced it, already as a university professor, etc. This, I was just doing that to show what can be done. If you put your mind to it, if you're clear on the goals, etc., it can be done. I did it for English. This is just English as a language. Actually, teachers of Islamic studies are using this series, which I did. It's called the Iman Reading Series. They're using this series to teach Islamic studies because it's colorful, you know, it is multicultural, and the themes, etc., are suitable for the children. They can relate to it. They love it. You know, they love this series. And that's what we need to have our math books doing. We need to have our science books doing. All of the different fields need to be developed from this perspective. With that's where we need to reach with everything. But practically speaking, now we need the lesson plan Islamization implementation on a day-to-day basis so that we have a plan ongoing and running, which can create that generation ready to swear, wallahi, tallahi, billahi, I've cheated on any test or examination.
I mean, mashallah. I mean, Sheikh, Bilal, I didn't know that you were that. I mean, of course, you're passionate about education, but preliminary education, I didn't know. Because one of the things I like about Brainy Bunch is that when we were talking about Brother Fadl, is that he was saying the vision of Brainy Bunch is like, it's for kindergarten, right? Mainly is like 3, 4 to 6. They want to do during this time, they want to teach kids how to pray, right? Because in this stage, kids are not thinking. They just practice what you do. They want to teach them how to pray properly. In Jama'ah, sometimes you can see them, you know, one imam doing this. And also, they also teach the basic characters of Sunnah, right? Like the from the Sunnah. It's so powerful. And a couple of months back, I remember Brother Fadl, we said, mashallah, this amazing vision. Why don't we, in this 3 to 6 years, also teach them how to read Quran, you know, at the same? And that's, alhamdulillah, we have another startup, Quran Era. We are coming together now. We actually, yesterday, we were meeting like 15 teachers from Brother Fadl's team. And we were teaching them how to do it in school. Now, inshallah, in February, we're going to do the preliminary launch. We are teaching them how to read Quran as well. So why am I mentioning is that today, I didn't know this would happen. Like the today is like saying, okay, let's share some examples how it does. But now what I'm seeing, Sheikh, is that on the one hand, mashallah, you have the Islamic Golan University. You build a solid foundation when it comes to higher education. And Coach Fadl, Brother Fadl with the Brainy Bunch and with many others, the team, they build the preliminary. What we are missing is a school. So maybe, inshallah, we hope from this meeting, from this initiation, something comes fruitful so we can build a school as well. So we will prepare the kindergarten so they will end up at your Islamic online university, inshallah, you know. So this is the way I'm thinking. So we can take the ummah from their, when they're younger, they're 3, 4 years old, right? That we try to educate them in the inshallah, best way so they find their right path. Inshallah, they go to school, then eventually go to Islamic Golan University. That's the hope. That's the dream, inshallah. But as you said, we have to take a small step. We have to take practical steps here, right now. And not like just thinking in the cloud high, but actual practical steps, inshallah. And that's what I hope for. that's me, we make dua for, inshallah. And we'll be also 1 hour on the call. Is there anything, any last things you want to mention, Dr. Bilal, to the listeners?
Maybe I want to add, Brother Ma'ruf and Dr. Bilal, mashallah. I think I really love your framework of thinking. I mean, I do not want to say that we think alike. Maybe I try to think alike like you, because I'm too small compared to whatever that you have achieved and what you have. But mashallah, I mean, I'm a very practical person. And I have a big dream. We want to take the big step, but I believe in the breaking down that big step into the baby steps. So I think that's the reason why probably we started at the kindergarten. Because you want to fix that corrupted leaders, we have to fix first what we feed our young children. Because these corrupted leaders can only be changed from these young children that we nurture correctly from the beginning. We use the word right education. Today, one of the largest and biggest problem of the world is all the children in the world, majority of them are raised not to become successful in this world, not to become successful in the hereafter. Because that's basically their design. They purposely made it that way because they do not want people to obey Allah. So that is easy. When they don't obey Allah, they will just follow their way. Their way is meaning they're going to be the slave to the system. They're going to be slave to the riba-based system, the financial system, the entertainment and so on. So when you mentioned one of the things that we have said, Dr. Bilal, I think today, if we study the big institution, big education institution, for Brainy Bunch, we always benchmark ourselves with that kind of organization, like Kumon, for instance. Kumon just teach mathematics and English, but mainly mathematics from Japan. They have 10 million children in the world who are attending Kumon at the current, the current moment. They have 10 million students worldwide. So when I saw the numbers, I said, why are they the one who are taking the lead? I mean, okay, we understand technology, maybe economy, we are behind. But education is something that is very, very so dear to us, the Muslim, because that's like the foundation of knowledge, right? And then when we started Brainy Bunch 10 years ago, we put that 1 million as our target. But we never pursue like all out towards their numbers because we were building the fundamentals. But alhamdulillah, because of the pandemic, and then we started to look and prepare some things. We've been working over the years. We have our own small college in Malaysia called Raudah College. We bought the college, we have full license with the ministry. And at that time, the college only offering Islamic only early childhood education. So when we took over, we tried to integrate Islamic content inside the college. But one of the things that I've created, because what we see when we wanted to open the school from kindergarten, elementary and high school, our biggest challenge is these teachers that we are hiring, they do not have a good Islamic teaching. They do not, unless they are Islamic teachers, even Islamic teachers, they just teaching the subject as a subject. Like they teach ibadah, they teach da'wah, they teach sirah, just like, repeating the knowledge that they learn and then just downloading the content into the children. So when we do not want them to just to download the information, because I told the teachers, if you just want to do this, I can just get a recorder. We have YouTube today. We can learn everything just online, just by listening. But we want them to educate. So educate is not just teaching, because teaching is easy. Educate meaning you have to do more than just a teaching. You need to coach, because when you teach them, you need to coach them to understand and to practice and to provide impact. And you need to help, not just during when they are a student, also beyond that, because a true believer, they love each other like they love themselves, right? They want to be the best. So one of the things, one of the challenges that we always face is a teacher's training program. So we've been doing a lot of enhancement. When we started Brainy Bunch, one of the things is, of course, our biggest challenge in Malaysia back then is to get a teacher who can even speak in English. Islamic practice, they know how to teach solat, they can recite Quran. Alhamdulillah, in Malaysia, not too bad. But we go to Indonesia, mashallah. Doctor, you'll be surprised. 10 teachers that we interview, not even one. Not easy to get one who can recite Al-Fatiha. You go to India, it's far more worse. We used to have one school in India. I personally attended the interviews. You can't even get, like, you know, few teachers, that 10 of them, you can't even get one who know how to pray, not even reciting Fatiha. And I think this is one of the big challenge. And when you mentioned about the Islamization of the lesson plan, I think that is beautifully specified. And maybe what we can work together is to quickly later, inshallah, find times. Maybe I need to fly to Qatar if it's possible. I get my team to come and then we sit down and then we come up with a certificate program on the pedagogy, the methodology of Islamizing the lesson plan. I think we can do that quickly, because I wanted our teachers from the kindergarten is much more easier, it's almost there, but the primary, the elementary, the lower elementary, they have a different module. We have actually created a diploma program for elementary teaching for Islamic school, because a lot of school, a lot of private school, when they hire teachers for their teachers in elementary, they just hire based on their preference. Okay, I like to teach maths. Okay, you go and teach maths. I'm a ustaz, graduate from Al-Azhar. Okay, you teach Islam. But how to teach to these young learners, nobody teach them. They don't have that program. So we created the curriculum, but maybe with you, you can help us to enhance, make it simplify. And we can start first with the certificate in Islamizing the lesson plan. I think that's basically needs a specific program that we can do that. We must do that immediately. And I,
in fact, actually, we have there's a sister in Nigeria, Sister Fatima Hamza, who has her own school there, which is from kindergarten to grade 12. And she very much came on board with this idea of Islamization and all this, you know, Islamization, and she studied it, and she studied the program which I taught, and she absorbed all that with her own educational background. She studied more. So now she is sort of like the leader of this project. So, you know, she would be, you know, ideal to help you in that process of developing the curriculum, and because she has studied it on a much higher level and put all these bits and pieces together. So definitely we would be happy to cooperate with you. And also right now, you know, we are just in the process in the Gambia, where the headquarters of the university is, we're in the process of developing, you know, a teacher's training course for them. We have a degree in education already, but specifically what was needed by the government was a degree in education specializing in certain areas. So we have developed a new curriculum which addresses those particular areas which the government asked for, the government in the Gambia. So in this way, you know, with already our department and everything is thinking in these directions. I mean, the idea of presenting everything from Islamic perspective, that's already there. No teacher is hired in the university, regardless of the discipline, without confirming that they have an Islamic background, they have Islamic concern, they understand the importance of what they're doing being ibadah, that this teaching process is not just a job, it is ibadah, it is worship. And the same way that you have to be very careful about, you know, your worship, you know, you make sure you make wudu properly, you didn't make wudu properly, you just, you know, sabotaged everything. The same way in terms of education, if you don't get the proper information, you don't have the proper techniques, etc., then you're sabotaging, you know, you are cheating the children. So the point is that we already have this in play and being worked with. It would be good to again bring our teams together, you know, and because we have accreditation, you know, we have you know, official accreditation. Inshallah, we shall go up in the UNESCO list very shortly. We're in the country list already, as you know, one of the leading accredited universities in the Gambia. So, you know, this early childhood education, as you said, very important, especially for the Brainy Bunch schools across. So developing a particular program for them, which all your teachers would need to take to make sure that they, okay, you've given them something, you've given them ideas, you've helped them, so on, so on, so, but actually be specialized in early childhood education from an Islamic perspective. So this, inshallah, is a way, in, inshallah, in which we can, you know, work together on that
so
project.
We came here to discuss a partnership. So we are making the partnership, initial steps of partnership. I think that's a beautiful example, isn't it? Like, to show, to lead by example, not just by theories and talks, but actually, okay, this is something interesting. Let's take a. I'm. Alhamdulillah, we are blessed to be at the stage, initial stage of this. May Allah reward and make this activity blessed in here and hereafter. Amen. It will be beneficial for us and more importantly to the ummah. Alhamdulillah. Any last things? Because I want to.
Brother Fadl, sorry, I saw the point which I wanted to, so it wouldn't be lost.
We will continue our conversation. I would like to end the broadcast because it's been over one hour. It's 1 hour, but we can discuss. We'll continue. I just end the broadcast. So anything last thing on the broadcast we can mention. But even the broadcast ending, we'll stay in like 10-15 minutes. We'll talk and we can. Of course, we'll start. Do another meeting, inshallah. I just want to be mindful of people's time.
What about people's questions? You said
sure. So I have some questions. Exactly. I have some comments and questions. For example, is someone doing it? Like, I think from LinkedIn. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Bilal Philip. Mashallah, you've not aged. As I remember, you as one of my teachers at Minaret Riyadh.
That's in Riyadh. Yes. In the 80s, I was.
Mashallah. And another brother, Adnan Usmani from LinkedIn. Another brother from Adnan Usmani is saying, thanks for sharing your stories. I would like to offer scholarly published service for your institute. Maybe someone from the organization can reach out to brother Adnan if you are interested in on LinkedIn. I think we'll share it with Sister Iman. So then we have Sister Haifa on LinkedIn. She was saying, Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah, I was an early childhood teacher in Islamic school in the US, and we did teach Quran to toddlers. To instill Islamic values, preschool, meaning 3+ school, should be our benchmark. Okay. Dr. Bilal sharing the lesson plans with ISNA, Islamic Schools of North America, will be very useful. That's just, I think, the comment they are making. These are all the questions I can see on the chat, what I'm looking at. That's all. If any last passing words, would like to give the Bilal, Dr. Bilal first and Coach Fadl, then we'll end the live broadcast, but we can stay online. We can discuss the other things, inshallah. So having said that, Dr. Bilal, anything you would like to mention? Maybe you want to tell online viewers to join International Online University because we are open for the spring.
I think you've done that already.
Anyway,
you know, people are welcome to join at any time, but our official start date, two starting dates every year, is March and September. But each semester is 6 months, actually 5 months, and there was a break, a 1 month break in between. But we welcome everybody and anybody, and we do hope that, inshallah, you can all share with us the experience of studying in IOU, which I always like to refer to as the Hajj experience, because when you join any class, you will be with 400, 300 other students from all over the Muslim world, Muslims. And we're also now implementing group study from that perspective. So that the students who, normally there is group study, but it's, students are sending in questions to each other and they try to answer for each other, etc. But now, you know, we're turning it into an actual requirement of the student. You are in your class, whether it's IT, whatever, then you'll be given assignments that you and four other students have to do together. Mm-hmm. Now, we had students individually doing assignments every semester, but I'm just trying to propose now, and we're in the process of trying to work out the details of it, you know, how they can study together. Write that assignment together, you know, each one contributing from that group, interacting with students from, required to interact with students from all over the Muslim world, you know, and doing that every semester in every subject. I feel this will also help to mature the students in terms of working together, the idea of the unity, you know, unity of the ummah. And the motto of the International Islamic University is establishing education, right? Changing the nation through education. Based on Allah's statement, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيْرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيْرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. That Allah doesn't change the condition of people until they change. They need to change. So this is like changing the nation through Islamized, authentic education.
Inshallah. Okay. Any last words, Brother Fadl, from you? Maybe you want to mention, where, you know, we are on an expansion. Maybe you want to mention where the people can go. They want to help us on expansion franchise of Brainy Bunch, if you want to mention briefly.
Yes. When we use the word franchise, people will perceive us differently. Like, we are a business-oriented, profit-oriented. I would say when we started this, and even in whatever that we do, as a Muslim, there's no such thing of we just do this for profit, because there's no such thing. Whatever that we do is only to seek the pleasure of Allah, to seek the blessing of Allah. And whatever that we do is we are trying to do it sustainably, so that the impact that we provide is not just for our generation, but it's go beyond until the end of day. Because of that, our structure is different. Now we are providing an opportunities, you know, providing an opportunities for all concerned. I wanna use the word from Dr. Bilal, that he said concern. We must have the same concern. Those concerned Muslim, concerned believers, that we are worried when we see people who do not obey Allah, who do not following the Sunnah of the Prophet, not because we want to feel that they are not Islamic, we are Islamic. No, because we love them. We want them to be successful in both worlds. So now, alhamdulillah, Brainy Bunch is offering a partnership program, either licensing or franchising, with or without capital, with or without. Some people, they have money, but they don't have time. Some people, they don't have money, but they have time. And especially like the Islamic Online University graduates or alumni or even students for that matter. Because when you join IOU, you definitely have the same concern. There's the same concern that the ummah, we call it the risau ummati, the worriedness of our beloved Prophet. Prophet does not worry that the ummah will be suffered of not having enough food, not having enough wealth. He's not worried about that, because he knows that Allah will provide everything. But he's worried that a lot of his ummah will enter hellfire. He's worried a lot of the ummah who do not obey Allah, who do not follow his teaching, will not be successful in the hereafter. And those who are not successful in the hereafter, almost guaranteed not successful in this world. So for that, alhamdulillah, inshallah, invite all concerned Muslim to join us in this journey to create 1 million impact to the Muslim children worldwide. If you look at the data, Dr. Bilal, we have about 245 million Muslim children worldwide aged below 6 years old. In India alone, we have 28 million. In Indonesia, we have about 28 million of Muslim children below 6 years old. And if you look at the numbers, we need, and because a lot of people today, they were raised by the capitalist system. They know the brand, they go to the school because of the particular brand and so on. Why Kumon have 10 million? Because they were successful in doing their own da'wah. Their version of marketing is da'wah, right? And because of that, people choose that kind of school. Cambridge School, for instance. Whatever that Muslim have, we should be able to come out. This is also one of the projects that maybe we can work together, which is to come up with the Islamic curriculum like Cambridge, but the one that we already Islamicized. Of course, this is a big project. It's a long-term project, but we have to start somewhere. So that's also another thing that we wanted to do. So I would like to invite all alumni, of course, IOU itself, Dr. Bilal and the team, to let's group out and let's work together. First, of course, help us to establish the first 1,000 school. 1,000 school targeting to impact 1 million children in 10 years, meaning we need about 66,667 teachers worldwide just to offer and teach Islamic childcare, Islamic kindergarten. So because all the young couples, they have to go to work today. Now they don't have parents who supporting or grandparents who take care of their own children. So they need to send to a childcare. So let's build this childcare worldwide so that our children, especially at the golden age, below 6 years old, where they will just absorb everything. You teach them Allah, they will absorb. You teach them the Sunnah, they will absorb. You teach them the behavior. Like for instance, Doctor, in our school, in Benny Bunch, the first month of every year, we will reset back the education and teaching them ground rule. Just to teach them adab, just to teach them akhlaq, how to walk, how to talk, how to pull and push chair, how to wear shoes, how to put your shoes on the shoe rack, a small little thing. You know, how to smile, how to eat the sunnah way, how to enter toilet, how to sleep, the small little thing that children do, but we teach them in the baby step process so that they get the strong fundamentals of for their upbringing. So that inshallah, with the right fundamental, we can add on as they go and grow to be a successful Muslim. And also, when they leave Brady Bunch Kindergarten, for instance, although majority of our school are kindergarten, we have now, alhamdulillah, almost 1,000 teachers. All together, our group, we have about 1,800 staff, but mainly are teachers, especially in the kindergarten. But the after kindergarten, we also try to reconnect them through our alumni network so that they can also be aligned, so that they won't be, you know, too far astray. And annually, we wanted to do a program. Maybe we can also work together. Like now, I wanted to commit to you, inshallah, all our high school students are going to be compulsory to take Diploma Islamic Studies from IOU, inshallah. And hopefully for our alumni, we can also do the encouragement. If I can force everyone, I will force everyone, because everybody must possess the right knowledge to practice, to become a good practicing Muslim. Because without the knowledge, they won't be able to do it correctly. Without being able to do correctly, they won't be able to be successful in this world and in the hereafter. So inshallah, please, all IOU alumni, students, and of course supporters, take the opportunities that we have. And of course, the second stage later, inshallah, maybe in the next call, we're going to focus on Islamic economy, the building block of Islamic economy, the fundamental. The education is the core, but the practical is the mu'amalah. You know, we spend in our daily life 8 hours, 7 hours just to be in the transaction. So we must strive put the effort and continuously improve to provide the online and offline mu'amalah to follow the Sharia, to follow what Allah have guided us through the teaching of our beloved Prophet. Of course, with the guide of our murshid teacher, our ulama, inshallah. Jazakallah khair.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you very much for all of you for being here. And I also published the URLs you can check for both of the projects, Islamic Online University, International Open University, or Brini Bunch. Thank you for being here. I also thank you, Dr. Bilal Phillips. I know you're a very busy person, and Brother Fadil, for your time. May Allah accept this from us. And until we see you next time, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.